Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Raven Radio News Director Robert Woolsey. I'm joined by Garland Kennedy, who's Daily Sitka Sentinel Sports Editor. Garland is joining me via Zoom. Hi, Garland.
Hey, Rob. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay with our socially distanced interview.
And we have a special guest joining us today. We have Christian Litton, who's the coach of our state championship DDF team, our drama debate and forensic team at Sitka High School. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome job.
Yeah.
And we have brought you in because the last time Garland and I were on the air, we joked, with no more real sports to talk about, we're going to have to talk about esports. And
yeah.
I bet right away you probably don't like the phrase esports aren't real sports.
Well, yeah, I would disagree with that statement.
Okay.
But I can see where people, you know, get that idea. And
what are esports, Christian? Let's just walk it all the way back. What are esports?
Sure. Well, to be very literal, the E in esports stands for electronic sports, right? And so you're talking about games that video games mostly, and what people hear when they hear that, they hear, oh, competitive video games. But what they don't understand is that video games have been competitive since the 80s. That just back then, there was no internet. They were doing it in local competitions and little get-togethers and things like that. There's a famous documentary about called The King of Kong, who a guy that was, you know, in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the highest records in all these games. So there was competition in these games going way back into, you know, the 80s when video games were really first getting popular. But as things progress and the internet allows people to be close to each other, and the competitive nature of a lot of these games that are becoming popular has allowed this huge industry to form around it, where they can play people from all over the world. And these competitions now are being held on the grandest scales you can imagine. So, you know, if you can think the Super Bowl, right, compared to the Super Bowl, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of viewers. And we're talking filling stadiums of 90,000 people to watch teams play, battle it out in video games, and to watch on big screens while they sit there right in front of you. And it's just become this giant industry that's really taking over right now.
And are these off-the-shelf video games? I mean, what
well,
are
you know,
they
a
playing?
Lot of them actually, a lot of these games now, what they do is they make them free to play. The games are 100% free. You get on your computer, you download them, you sometimes can, you know, get them through your PlayStation or through your Xbox or whatever. But a lot of these games are mostly PC games, and a lot of them are being offered free, and they allow anybody to come play them, right? So it opens it up to, if you have a computer and an internet connection, you know, you can play this game against people on the other side of the world and start to compete. And maybe you turns out you're the best at this game in the world, and all of a sudden you're on a team, and then you're, you know, getting paid thousands of dollars a week to play games, or maybe making millions at a giant competition at the end of the year, stuff like that.
And the games that somebody listening might recognize, like a lot of people have heard of Dota, Defense
sure.
of the Dark
Dota
Arts.
Dota is a big one. League of Legends is one of the biggest games in the world for sure, especially in Korea and China. Quake was one of the original ones, but now you got stuff like Overwatch, that's a big one. Fortnite is huge among really young kids right now, but Fortnite. And so there's a lot of different games right now that are really popular.
Garland, is any of this on your radar?
I've been following, well, records falling for audience viewership in esports with physical sports canceled worldwide. Do you have any thoughts on that, Christian? How audience numbers seem to be skyrocketing?
Well, I think it only makes sense, right? You have a bunch of people that are being quarantined, and you have events being canceled all over the world, big sporting events, right? And so what do? People go to, you know, their video games when they're in quarantine, and they're sitting at home, and you're sitting online. And that's the thing, you know, with things like Twitch and even Facebook now, and YouTube gaming, all these things that have kind of blown up with these streamers, these people that stream these video games, you know, 10 hours a day or 15 hours a day sometimes. You know, it allows for more watching, more playing, just makes the market bigger, just makes, you know, means more advertising, more media, you know, more bigger piece of the pie kind of thing.
And I was also wondering, so a lot of these Twitch streams especially have really, really intense followings.
Yes.
I know the one I follow myself would be Critical Role, with a massive following behind it. What do you think about the fan base in esports and what it means for maybe the future of it?
Well, I think, if you think about it in regards to traditional sports, if you are a huge football fan, right, and if you could sit there and for 10 hours a day watch Brett Favre throw the perfect spiral and him talk to you about it while he does it, he'd have so many followers, right? But there's limitations, right? There's physical limitations to stuff like football and sports like that, right? Brett Favre can't literally stand there for 10 hours a day and throw 1,000 passes every day, right? But a kid can sit here at a video game and play for 10 hours, and the really good streamers, who I personally think the really good streamers are the ones that, talk about the game they're playing while they're playing it. They interact with their stream, and that's how they get these big followings, right? It's like they're almost like influencers on Instagram or on other social media platforms. They're building this following by building this personality and being interacting with their fans as well as playing the game really well, right? That's the thing that initially will attract people, is like you have to be good at the game. Because nobody's going to watch you if you're bad, right? Nobody wants to watch somebody be bad at the game. And especially these competitive games, if you can see and sit there and watch a pro and watch his mouse clicks and where he's moving and what he's doing and how he does what he does while he plays the game, it's like you can learn things about the game and become better yourself. And you never know. Someday you may be playing competitively and may get paired up against that guy that you've been watching. And the fact that that's even a possibility is what gets people really excited about playing games, right?
Christian, is there a role for esports in high schools?
When you're looking at sports these days, too, I mean, especially when you look at things like football's the big one, right? Where football's huge all over the country. Not so much here in Southeast Alaska and Sitka, but you're talking about kids getting injuries and things like that, and these really physical things that we're learning more about. And, yes, you want your kids to be physical and whatever, but I do think that there are aspects to esports that, just like any traditional sport, provide, just like DDF, people say it's not really a sport, right? But we're doing team building, and we're doing these team activities that build character and build things that I think you can find in video games too. Teamwork and responsibility I think there's room for it definitely in like the high school realm.
I think there's a fair chance that some of our audience have never even heard of esports. And if they have, they might not have too much of an in-depth understanding. How would you describe the differences and similarities between physical and electronic sports to someone who is very new to it?
The differences are obviously that your traditional sports are much more physical, right? And a lot of people would say, well, because they're not doing any physical activity, how is this really a sport? Well, they're still doing physical activity, right? Maybe it's not the same time, but you're talking about, reaction timing down to the millisecond, and which in sports you find that too, right? Reaction timing of how fast you can react to a ball coming at you, right? Well, in mouse clicks and stuff like that too, these guys get really good. And sure, you still run into things like injuries. You get injuries in esports. Wrist injuries are a big one, and a lot of people laugh that off as like, oh, ha, 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 these poor little nerd kids getting wrist injuries. But it's, these guys are playing for 10, 12 hours a day, 15 hours a day sometimes. And they now have these big facilities too that are very comparable to what they're doing with traditional sports, right? They have facilities built where the athletes train, right? And so the big companies that invest in these games and these teams and things like that, they build these big facilities for them to train. The idea of the fat, pimply, nerdy gamer guy drinking Mountain Dew, just getting fat in his mom's basement is not what these pro gamer kids look like at all. A lot of them are on strict schedules where they are working out 2 hours a day or whatever, where they're getting up early and doing team exercises or playing basketball together, or they're eating very healthy, getting very good sleep, managing their caffeine intake, things like that. They have to know how to take care of their bodies to be at the top of the game. And that's where you see the similarities to pro athletes, right? It's very much like taking care of yourself and your mind and your body, building these team aspects so that you can be the best team, having facilities that take care of all that. There's all these real big similarities.
Tonight, I want to go online and I want to watch some esports. What's the best place to do?
What I would do is I would watch the World Championship from League of Legends. I think it was 2017. It's when they were in China and they were in the stadium that they used for the Olympics. It's called like the Crow's Nest or something like that. But it's the 2017.
The Bird's Nest, yeah.
Yeah, the Bird's Nest. It's the world championship in that stadium. It's like 91,000 people. The place is, they sold out that place within minutes. It's such a huge, huge production value and everything. It's insane.
Well, Garland, I suggest we watch the 2017 League of Legends
World Championship. Yep.
World Championship from Beijing, China, from the Bird's Nest. And then we come back together with Christian sometime and we go over it because what else are we going to talk about? It's esports.
Exactly.
We have to adapt. We have to adapt to survive.
That's right.
Christian Litton, thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Hey,
it's been
pleasure.
Fun.
Yeah, thank you.
And Garland, we'll have to make a time and come back and do this again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
Garland Kennedy is the sports editor at the Daily Sitka Sentinel. I'm Robert Woolsey. I'm news director at Raven Radio. You've been listening to Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio.